Well, good morning. I'm excited about the Fall Festival this weekend. I really am. I love the Fall Festival. It's such a blast. And, you know, Anthony has been checking the weather for like 4 weeks. If you know Anthony, you may know him, but he is our own personal weatherman in this church. He knows the wind pressure and the gusts, and he knows it all. And so he has been on top of the weather since 4 weeks ago, since we got this thing started. You know, every day I live, I just am just continuously amazed at how awesome God is. He never fails to amaze you. You know what I mean? And I'm walking in here this morning, and I see Isaiah getting out of this car. I'm like, what is this? And God knows that Isaiah has been needing a car for so long. And what does God do? He provides a car for him. And so a car was given to, yeah, man. I got to tell you, man, that just rocked my world when I saw you pulling out of that car. I'm like, man, he's been needing the car for so long. And God just says, here it is, man. Here you go. Have it. That's the God that we serve. He's that awesome, and he's that personal. And I don't know if you've recognized, there's kind of been a theme throughout this morning's service so far, and I haven't really had much time to connect with these two, but this running theme this morning is the closeness of God, of how close he is to you and I. And he's close to us through his Holy Spirit. He actually gave us his very Spirit to be with us in everything that we go through. What's amazing to me about God is that he does not abandon us to our struggles. He does not abandon us and leave us high and dry to kind of fend for ourselves on this earth. He could have. He doesn't, but he doesn't. He does not leave us alone. He does not leave us helpless to go through situations. And so you may be here this morning facing some dire situation or circumstance. Or you may be here this morning and you're feeling just like the world is on your shoulders or that everything is coming down on you. But I want you to know this morning that God is so very near to you. We were encouraged last week by the preacher to get close to the Holy Spirit this week. To spend time getting close to the Holy Spirit this week. And what we find is that in that closeness, as we draw near to him, we actually find how close he really is to us already. And so God could have abandoned us to our struggles. He could have abandoned us to the world. He could have given us this new life. He could have given us this gift of eternal life. He could have given us this hope of eternal life and this future hope with him. He could have given all that stuff to us, and then he could have just said, all right, he could have taken his hands off and says, all right, I'm going to leave you in this world. You guys suffer for a little bit, but don't worry, because when it's all over, when you're done in this world, you're going to come be with me for eternity, and it's all going to be okay. He could have done that. He could have still given us that eternal life, that new life, but he chose to remain with us. He chose not to leave us. He chose not to abandon us. He chose not to leave us as orphans. He chose to be with us, close. He chose to be a part of everything we go through. He chose to be a part of every experience, that everything that we encounter in life or experience in life would be some sort of encounter that we have with God. You see, you face situations in life, and you face circumstances and experiences in life, and those moments are to be encountered with God. He gave us his Spirit so that we could be with him and so he would reveal his closeness to us in those moments. And so last week we saw that the Holy Spirit is responsible for giving us new life. He's the one that breathed life into the church. But he doesn't just leave us here. God does not just leave us here abandoned to our struggles, but he chooses to be with us and to remain with us in every area of life. If you want to turn to your Bibles, we're going to look in John chapter 16. John chapter 16, and I'm going to read verses 5 through 15. Now, the context of what we're about to read is Jesus is having sort of his last deep heartfelt conversation with the people he's most close to. Right, he knows that his time has come. He starts to tell them, look, I've got to go, guys. I've been with you for these 3 years, but I have to go. It's time for me to go. And then he goes on to tell them that, look, you're going to face hatred in the world. The world's going to hate you just as they hated me. And so he kind of just for three chapters spills it all out there, knowing that this is the last chance he gets. And he says, if you were with somebody on your deathbed or on your last hours, what would you get off your chest? What would you tell the people that you love most? What would you tell the people you love most if you found yourself at your last hours? And here he chooses to tell him, look, guys, I've got to go. And I try to imagine the disciples' reaction of Jesus talking to them, and they're like, the confusion that must have been going on. Right? You've been with us for 3 years. You told us to follow you. You tell us that you're the Messiah, you're the Son of God, and all of a sudden you're gonna just take off. Right? I can't imagine. And so we're verse 6 in chapter 16. Verses 5 through 15, this is where we're going to pick up. Because Jesus begins to talk about the Holy Spirit here. And he says in verse 5, he's talking to the disciples, and Jesus says, I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. All right, so what he's saying is, I didn't, everything that I just told you, I didn't tell you from the very beginning, because my presence was physically here with you. It wasn't as important. I was physically with you in the present, so I didn't tell you these things from the very beginning. And they wouldn't have understood it then either. He says, I didn't tell you these things from the beginning because I was with you. I was presently with you, physically in your presence. But now I'm going to him who sent me. He said, but now I got to go. I love you guys, and I've been with you for 3 years, but it's time for me to go. And he says, none of you have asked me, well, where are you going? But because I've said these things, sorrow has filled your heart. They didn't even ask him, what's the purpose of this? Why are you leaving? Why are you leaving us, Jesus? Why are you taking off? But immediately they were filled with sorrow in their heart. And Jesus says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. It is to your advantage that I have to leave this earth. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father. And you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. In verse 12, he says, I still have many things to say to you right now, but you just cannot bear them right now. When I'm reading this, I can't help but envision enthusiasm in Jesus' voice. I really, if you know that this is your last chance to tell the people that are closest to you in your last hour what you want to tell them, I can almost see Jesus really excited about this. Because he says, it's to your advantage that I'm going away. It's to your advantage. And there's so many more things I want to say to you, but you just cannot bear them right now. In verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you, all that the Father is mine. All that the Father has is mine. And so therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So Jesus says, it's to your advantage that I'm going away. And then he goes on just a few verses later in verse 33. He says this as he's kind of wrapping it up in a sense. In verse 33 he says, I have said these things to you. Right? He's saying, I have just unloaded all of this stuff to you. It's a lot to take in one conversation. That the person that you've been closest to, this person that was physically in your presence, this person who was physically there for you in every circumstance for the last 3 years is saying, yo, I've got to take off. And he's unloading all this stuff. And he says, And in this context, he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. What? You're telling me that you're leaving me and that this helper, we don't know who this helper is, we don't know what this helper is, who he is, the Spirit of truth that you're talking about. And you're telling me that you're telling me these things so can I can have peace. The disciples were filled with sorrow in this moment. And the peace that they needed, you know, at that very moment. He says, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. And Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Those are powerful, powerful words. Because you take it and you put it into context of what Jesus had just said about all those things that were going to happen to him. Is that he's going to leave, that it's time for him to go, but he's not leaving them as orphans. But for them in their mind, they must have been like, well, yeah, you are. You're leaving us alone. You're leaving. You're going off to prepare a place for us. What does that even mean, Jesus? And he says, but if I don't go, it is for your advantage that I'm going away. And you must have been thinking, as one of his followers, how is it to my advantage? You have been with me from the very beginning. How is it to my advantage? He says, in this world you have tribulations, hard times, sorrows, troubles, and difficulties. How is that to our advantage, Jesus? How is that to our advantage? He says, take heart, which means to grab a hold of courage. Grab a hold of it, for I have overcome the world. The word of God for you this morning is that in spite of the struggles that you're facing today, you're not alone. You're not alone. Jesus has not abandoned you to your struggles, but the word of God says that he has given you his very spirit. And what kind of spirit is that? It's his very spirit. We see in Galatians 4:6 that it says, Paul says that God sent the spirit of his son to live in you. To live and to dwell, to reside in you. Each and every one of you here this morning, if you have your faith placed in Jesus, you have the spirit of Jesus himself in you. And so what does this spirit look like? He says, take heart, I have overcome the world. That tells me that this is a spirit that has overcome the world. That this is a spirit that has overcome everything that the world has thrown at Jesus. And he takes this spirit that is his very being, his very belonging, and he takes it and he takes it and he gives it to his people. And so this overcoming spirit that overcome everything that Jesus ever faced in this world and everything that the world threw at him, this overcoming spirit has been placed within you. And so what that tells me is that you have the spirit of Jesus Christ, the same spirit that overcame everything in the world has been given to you. And so therefore, you have a spirit in you that is an overcoming spirit. That nothing has to hold you down. Nothing has to hold you down. But it's because of that resurrection of Jesus Christ that nothing gets held down, but that everything can be overcome. And so therefore, you have the helper. Jesus gives two names to the Holy Spirit in that text that we just read. He calls them the helper and the Spirit of truth. The helper. We have the helper. We have the Spirit of Jesus helping us in every circumstance and every situation that we face in life. So Jesus says, grab a hold of courage. Grab a hold of courage no matter what storm you're facing yourself in, no matter what you're going through. Grab a hold of courage because you have the overcoming Spirit of Jesus inside of you. His Spirit is here to help you with whatever it is you're facing. He provided you with His personal care. He provided you with His Spirit. The beauty of this whole thing is that God chose to be present in human experiences. He chose not to be this far-off, distant God. He chose not to just be this unapproachable God, but he made Himself available to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How did He do that? He sent us the Holy Spirit. He sent us His closeness. Each and every one of you have a spirit. You were created with a spirit. Right? Your spirit becomes alive, the Bible says, when His Spirit comes in and breathes life into it. Your spirit comes alive for the very first time. And so the spirit that you have is now alive. And the spirit within you is your inner being. It's your nature and your character. It's your inner self. And so what happened is that Jesus actually sent us His closeness. He gave us His inner being. He gave us His nature. He gave us His character. He gave us His Holy Spirit. He gave us His Spirit. Everything that is close about God, everything that is personal, everything that is intimate, everything that is that deep belonging, that inner being of Jesus, the very being of Jesus, has been given to you and I. He gave us His closeness so that He would be with us, close to us, right by our side through everything we face in life. See, this is one of the functions and the roles of the Holy Spirit, is to be that close contact between God and us. He said He would never leave us nor forsake us. And He fulfilled that promise when He sent His Son's Spirit to live in you. You have the Spirit of Christ in you. A scholar by the name of Jürgen Moltmann said that every lived moment can be lived in the inconceivable closeness of God in the Spirit. Imagine for a moment that Jesus is right by your side, physically, all right? Take a circumstance that you've gone through, some sort of situation, a dire circumstance, whatever it may be, something where it just seemed impossible, and you just wish that this awesome man Jesus that you read about was physically in your presence. What would you expect from Him? As you face despair, as you face an impossible circumstance, when Jesus just tells you that in this world you're going to face these kind of things, it's going to happen, it's coming, so be ready, take hold of courage, for I have overcome the world. And He tells you this, and you find yourself facing despair. What would you expect from the personal, physical presence of Jesus in that moment, right by your side? Comfort, absolutely. I would expect Him to wrap His arms around me and to comfort me. I wouldn't expect Him to remove it, because He said that we're going to go through these things. That these things, and we find out later in the Word of God, that these things are for our benefit. That they produce character. They produce perseverance. And so, doesn't remove the situation, but in the situation, where is He? He's right by your side, right? Imagine Him physically in your presence as you're facing despair, and He's wrapping His arms around you in comfort. What else would you expect Him to do? I would expect Him to encourage me, to instill courage within me. You know, that's what encourage means, to place courage within. I would expect Him to remind me and to assure me of the hope that I have in Him. I would expect Him to remind me of who I am in Him, and I would expect Him to strengthen my spirit in that moment. Those are the things that I would expect of Jesus if He was physically present right by my side Those are the things. Well, you know what? This is why he sent his Spirit. So that that closeness, that intimacy, that everything you need in the moment kind of thing would be with you every single moment of every day. He's with you. He did not abandon us to our struggles. He did not abandon us to our circumstances. But he said, you know what? I'm not only going to give you new life, but I'm going to walk through every moment of life with you. I'm here with you. And so he sent his Spirit because Jesus was limited to a physical place at one time. He could only be at one place at one time, right? But he knew that there was such a bigger plan here. And so when he left, he says, and he's telling the disciples, hey guys, it's to your advantage that I'm going away. And we find out that when he sends his Spirit, he's now able to be across the entire earth inside of millions of people. And so he's not limited. Jesus' Spirit is not limited to one place, but now he's all over the world living inside of people. And so when I read this, I see enthusiasm in Jesus' voice where he says, and he shares this incredible news with his followers. Guys, it's to your advantage that I'm going away. That Greek word there for advantage is somphero. And that word means that it's best for you. How about that? Jesus said, it's best for you. It is better for you that I'm going. Imagine that. Imagine Jesus saying that. He says, for if I do not go, this helper will not come to you. If I don't go, then you will not have this helper, my Spirit walking through life with you every moment of every day. I can't be with you every moment of every single day. But if I do not go, the Holy Spirit will not come. But if I do go, I'll send him to you. And so now this comfort and this strengthening and this encouragement and everything that you've ever needed, this personalized care that I give to you in the physical presence will be with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I will be with you. When I send my Spirit to you, now I can be with all men everywhere. There goes that. He provides personalized care. He provides personalized care to all of us. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And all of this comes out of a deep love for us, a deep love for each and every one of you. He loves us so much that he didn't want us to just give us this new life and this eternal life and the hope of eternal life and then just leave us stranded on this earth. But he said, you know what? I'm going to walk through this life with you. And I'm going to go through everything that you go through. How? Because my Spirit now lives in you. And so when you find yourself facing despair, you find yourself facing a mountain in front of you that you can't even, you feel helpless to even get across. His Spirit is right there with you, giving you personalized care, comfort, encouragement, strength. That's His Spirit. And He provides us with guidance as well. He says that the Spirit of truth will guide you in all truth. And what I find so incredible is that when Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, he says that he's our helper. And then he says he's our Spirit of truth. And so when you look at how the Holy Spirit ministers to us and he works us, he's working in those inner parts, right? He works in the heart. He helps us in our heart places. But then he also guides us in the Spirit of truth. And so that means what Jesus is getting at here is that the Holy Spirit is going to work in your heart and in your mind. He's going to guide you in all truth, in the knowledge of God, in the knowledge of Jesus. He's going to reveal himself to your mind, and he's going to help you in your heart. And so the Holy Spirit, his work, his ministry is both heart and mind. This is the Holy Spirit that you've been given. And He rests and He lives and He dwells inside of each and every one of us. And you know, He says that the Holy Spirit's going to speak and He's going to continue to speak. And so we have this need as followers to listen to what He's saying. And this is where that relationship part comes in. This is where that relationship part comes in. The Holy Spirit is the speaker. And the church is the listener. Well, how do we listen? How do we hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us? How do we do that? Well, we know that we don't hear Him audibly. It'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Oh my goodness, how many times have I said, Lord, please, I'm asked just this one time. Just, can I just hear it audibly? Please. You know? But He doesn't. He communicates to us through His Spirit. The Spirit of truth will guide you in all truth. And He will not speak what is on His own. He will speak whatever I give Him to speak to you, He says. So that tells me that my Spirit infused with His Spirit, the way that I hear Him is in my Spirit. So we have these ears of our heart. Somebody once said that the Spirit is almost like the ears of your heart. And so when your Spirit is being communicated to by His Spirit, you're able to hear Him. You're able to hear Him guiding you and leading you and comforting you and reminding you of who you are in Him and assuring you of the peace you have and assuring you of the hope that you have, assuring you that you're not alone. That is His Spirit communicating to your spirit. It's so much closer than if He was even physically here. Do you see what I'm saying? Even if He was physically here, I'm close to Rebecca right now. This is close. But I don't have her spirit within me. And so He says, this is what is best for you. I can't be as close to you as I want to even be. There's so much more than just me being this physically close to you. But if I don't go, I won't send the Holy Spirit to you. The closeness of God, the very inner being, the belonging, the everything that is personal, everything that is intimate, everything about God, His nature and His character, has been infused into your spirit and gave your spirit life. The closeness of God is with you. So you're not alone. You're not alone. He has not abandoned you to your circumstances. He has not left you all alone. But He is here with you. His Spirit, His precious personalized care, His closeness is with you in everything that you're going through. And so how do we apply this? Anthony, can I ask you and the worship team to come on forward? And then we're gonna participate in communion together. And I don't know what song you're gonna have, but you know, the service kind of started this way, and it's pretty cool how it's going to end this way. And it's this word of surrender. Fabian said, just give up. And he didn't mean just give up and just forget about it. He said, give up trying to do it on your own. Give up trying to be self-sufficient. Give up trying to go through what you're going through on your own. Give it up. Give it over to God. What he's saying was, he was saying, surrender it all. And so this is how we apply this morning's message. Surrender to His love. Surrender to His personalized care of His Spirit. Surrender to His comfort. Surrender to His strengthening. Put away anything that may be preventing or blocking you from receiving His personalized care. Surrender it all. And a lot of times, pride will stand in the way, doesn't it? That need to be self-sufficient, that need to go through what you're going through on your own. Because I can do this by myself. I can do this by myself. I can get through this on my own. But let me tell you something. You were not created to go through life alone. You weren't created that way. You were actually created to experience every area of life with God. You're actually created that way. Your very makeup was made up for this God to be a part of. That closeness, that intimacy, that relationship, that personal connection. You were created for that. And so when you try to go through things on your own and you say, and you resist His personalized care, which He's so desperately giving to you. Understand, you were created to experience every area of life with God. You were created for that. You were created for this unity. You were created for relationship. You were created to be with your God. And so whatever it is you're going through, the Holy Spirit is there going through it with you. Whatever it is you're going through today, you find yourself facing, the Holy Spirit is going through it with you. So surrender all pride, all self-sufficiency, and allow the Holy Spirit to be your helper. Amen? Amen.